Blog Talk Radio.
On my CD Walkman back in, what, 1991, 92, when I was playing ball in college, that was my hype music, and it still gets me to that point where I'm like, man, I am super hyped. Just the kick drum, the whole tone, the whole everything of what's going on, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about here at Four Quarters with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, tonight I got a little special show. You know, hey, I'm asking all coaches and owners and management of the WFA to call in. I don't know if you are or not. I know that the basketball game is on, but you know what? Butler's going to win anyway, so don't worry about it. That's the Hollywood script, and that's how it's written. Butler will win, so you can, you know, it'll be a movie. It definitely will be a movie. But anyway, tonight's a little special show. I'm trying to do a preview show of the 2010 WFA, that's Women's Football Alliance season. We are kicking off this year with some exciting new stuff. We got some great things jumping off. You know, it's going to end on, what, July 31st right here in Las Vegas, beautiful Las Vegas. It's going to be probably about 105. That night, but it's going to be here in Las Vegas. The details will should be going up on the website, on the league website, this coming weekend with all the details and everything. But again, mark the calendar, July 31st, 2010, WFA National Championship game will be on. And hopefully, by the end of the show, I will give you my predictions of who will be in that championship and who will be sporting that brand new ring and those brand new uniforms that are provided by the WFA sponsors. What else? Before I get going, I got to get my little notes here together. All righty. So let's do the show like we always do this. We always got to kick this off with our sponsors, and I was reminded that I do have other sponsors to make mention. So, again, this show is brought to you by... Hold on. What did I just do right here? God dogs. All right, here we go. Anyway, let's rock and roll. This show is brought to you by Rogers Athletic Equipment. You know, whether where the good gets better when you use the equipment. It's brought to you by Enterprise. Why Enterprise? Because it'll pick you up. It's brought to you by Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. And also, it's brought to you by the number one networking board for women's football. That's the Women's Tackle Football Group. .meme.com. It is the place to be. It is the place to, you know, get things off your chest. It's a place to network. It's a place to learn. That's the Women's Tackle Football Group. .meme.com. And hey, I am done, because that might be the last time you hear my sponsors for the night, because, you know, I got some hot topics and I got some stuff that we want to talk about with the WFA. And I'm going to leave the last 45 minutes for the WFA. But, you know, I got to go to the Ning board. It's a great topic out on the Ning board. Again, that's Women's Tackle Football Group. .meme.com. The IWFL just opened up their weekend this past weekend, and we had results. And it was some great games out there, but it was also some goose eggs out there. And it actually sparked up a conversation in the discussion page on 2010 Week 1 IWFL results. And it all started because of a coach, Thomas O'Boyle, said, wow, looks like another year of lopsided scores ahead. And, you know, it followed up, and it just kept going into a conversation, because it is some lopsided scores. And I think a lot of us as coaches and owners and fans of the game are tired of the lopsided scores, be it one side is just, you know, running the score up, and then, or the other side just ain't being taught the game of football the way that it should be played, and just don't have a good coaching staff to help, to learn how to milk the clock. I mean, it's hard to score 80 points, you know, in a game. That's like, what, 12 touchdowns, you know, something like that. Let me get my calculator out, because I don't feel like thinking right now, but, you know, we divide, you know, 80 by 7, that's 11 touchdowns in a game to score 80 points. That's a lot of points. And like I said, you got to do a better job on both ends, coaching as far as running it up and also as far as giving it up, you know. So as it went down into the conversation, you know, honestly, this was from John Spatz. He said he honestly thought we were past this, you know, blowouts and shutouts. He actually said he erased some of his other comments because he just didn't want to be disrespectful towards anybody. Then you had Coach Bill. Why is that where bad teams go? Oh, because somebody had mentioned about going to the Women's Spring Football League, you know, saying it was good for all these blowouts because the teams would come over to that league. And, of course, Coach Bill said, why is that where all the bad teams go? Is that going to be the bad team league? But I don't want to get into the bad-mouthing part about this. But the fact is, you know, yeah, we had a lot of zeros. You know, I reiterate some of the scores. We had a 28-0, 77-0, 32-0, 42-0, 32-0, 33-13, 34-12, 73-30, 26-2, 56-6, 40-9, 65-0, 54-0, 50-14, 76-0, 36-6, 3-0, 37-25. And, you know, like I said, you heard me say a lot of zeros. And it's not from, like, new teams either. These are teams that have been around. I mean, I consider my team pretty new. This is our going into our fifth season. And, no, we're not the new kids on the block. But, you know, we're fairly new still, but I've never been beat like that, ever, 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 ever. And I got to thank my coaching staff and myself. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm the best coach. I'm just trying to say I'm not going to get my butt whooped like that. You know, I think I've been shut out once, and that was the very first game that we played, and that was against the SoCal Scorpions in 2006. And we were down 14-0 at halftime, and we wound up losing 35-0 to the SoCal Scorpion, so which was one of the top five teams in the nation at the time. But, hey, you know, that's not bad for our very first game, but we never got blown out like that, you know, left goose eggs up there. But, you know, that is a concern, and I'm pretty sure that it might take place in the WFA this weekend as well. So I'm not just saying one league. You know, I'm saying teams. All 100 teams that are out there got to improve and get better at what we do, you know. As we went on, they talked about some of the people who had to reschedule games. I'm not even worried about that. That's their prerogative. But my whole thing is about why we have any situations. You know, I had a coach, I want to say coach, but Rex Johnson from the Nebraska Stampede. He said, we are a new expansion team with two vets and rest rookies. Blowouts are a real possibility for us. Doesn't mean, though, that we'll jump leagues. We'll learn from our situations and get better. Now, and basically, you know what? That's all you can do. All you can do is learn from your mistakes, from coaching mistakes to player mistakes. And then Don hit us up on here. I'm not quite sure where Don's from as of yet. I didn't go flip back and forth. But he said, as long as there's two leagues with teams from the same recruiting area in each of the leagues, the blowouts will continue. There are just not enough players to support two teams in most areas. The other issue is the mix of the teams, where teams from major metropolitan cities play teams from rural areas. So you can have a team from an area with 3 to 4 million people to draw from versus a team with a population of 200,000. There is no way that it will ever work. It's like Division I college teams play a Division III teams. It adds up to major blowouts. And, of course, I had to disagree because, again, we're playing 11-on-11. And I've seen enough football that it doesn't necessarily take 100 people on a team to win a championship, i.e., the KC Tribe that just took place, i.e., the Wisconsin Warriors, and they played against, you know, the Montreal Blitz, and then the KC Tribe played against the DC Divas, who I think suited up maybe 45 players, and the Tribe maybe did 25, I'm going to give or take a few, you know. But my theory is this. It don't take 45 to win. It takes a good 11. And if those 11 got to go both ways, then you as a coach need to what? Get them in shape and let them know they're going to be playing 60-minute football, old-school football, back in the 30s and 40s when they went both ways. You know, you'd be fortunate enough to have some other key players, and that's great. But, you know, a team can win with 3 or 4 excellent players. I check out what UConn did last night in the basketball game for those who watch. You know, Baylor and UConn. You know, Brittany was off the hook, you know, the young lady from Baylor, but she can't stop all 5 players. You can't expect her to go out and block the shot at the 3-point line and then come back and get the rebound. You know, it takes a team. It takes players, you know, and skilled players. But going back to my theory is this. You got to hustle and bustle and get out there and recruit. You know, I don't care. You got to do the best for what you have to work with. There's no excuse because you come from a small population. You might not be as talented, but again, that's where it reflects back on the coaching staff. You know, it reflects back on the ownership on how they recruit and what they're charging the players to play. You know, there's 5 teams in L.A., and all those teams are good. But if we said, oh, we can't have any more teams than one in a particular city, then that means we'd be limited the amount of players that will be playing. And then if we consider, well, small rural areas, then we might well eliminate them as well if you wanted to make it to a big city situation. You know, and it's not about that. It's about giving the women the opportunity to play the game. That's what it's all about, to play the game. It's up to you, coach, to coach them up to the best of your abilities and not put them in a situation where they're getting beat 80-0, 95-0, 55-0, 32-0, you know, 54-0. You know, stop going for it on 4th-down-20. You know what I'm saying? Front the ball. You know, take a couple of 30-second, 45-second penalties. You know what I'm saying? To milk the clock. You know, you only got to average 3.5 yards a play. If you just got up and put everybody shoulder to shoulder and ran quarterback sneak every play, I would guarantee you I would never lose a game by more than 5 touchdowns. And I can run the same play each and every time. Quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak. I would teach the girls how to get up slow, how to roll off each other. You know what I'm saying? To do everything. I have a stopwatch on the sideline so that when the whistle is blown by the referee, I control when they're going to hike the ball from the sideline. And when I put my hand up, that means we got 10 seconds left on the play clock. You got within that 10 seconds to hike the ball for the next play. You know, it's just being a smarter coach, that's all. Not to say you got to win the games. What I'm saying is making them close. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And so when I went through this whole thing, I went on a little rumble. And just check me out real quick before I go into the WFA previews. I said, let me add my 5 years of coaching at this level of experience. I would say 50% is to be blamed on the coaching of the team that is getting blown out. You must be a great teacher of the game. And again, you got to be. You just can't be a PlayStation coach. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a PlayStation coach. You got to know the game. You must know how to coach not to get blown out. Like punt the ball on fourth down. Stop throwing the ball when you can't throw. Run the ball to milk the clock. And so on and so forth. You know, the team must focus on fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. I'm a big fundamentalist. That's why I run the Women's Football Camp and Conference, because there's not enough out there going on. I had the pleasure of joining the 2006 WPFL. We played against SoCal two times. We lost 35-0. And then the second time we played them, we lost 32-18. We played the LA Amazon two times. The first time, we took them in overtime. It was 14-14, and then they beat us in overtime 20-14. And then we lost 26-2 the last game of that season with a lot of injured players. We played the Houston Energy that year, who happened to be in a national championship game against the Dallas Diamonds, and who hadn't been scored on all year, and we lost 51-7. But we threw the ball 45, 50 times that game, so we were just pumping it up. You know what? Because we went with we had a couple players who couldn't make it, you know, at the last minute, and we just had to do what we had to do. And again, those are three of the five top teams in the country. And again, I talk from my experience. And then we played two games against the New Mexico Burn, which was a second year team, and we wind up beating them 35-0 or 42-0. And the reason why is because we practiced those fundamentals. You know, New Mexico has not won a game in their career. And they really felt they were going to beat the Showgirls finally, because they've been playing the Dallases and the Houstons and the LAs and the SoCals, and they're getting their butts whooped that because we're a new team that they thought they were going to beat us. But that ain't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen because we were better coached than they were. You know, and again, on that team, I had two girls that played football, my quarterback and my corner, Cassandra Austin, who played on the Houston Energy. And we had 51 other rookies on the team that year. And we went 2-5, but it was a learning experience. So I'm going to keep going real quick because I want to get into the preview. Then I said 15% of the blame can be placed on the players. The players must take this game seriously and commit to being at each and every practice. A lot of teams out there don't get every player to their practice. I know that, and I know that for a fact, because my players don't make it to every practice. Without players at practice, the results remain the same. While at practice, you must buy into the coach's program and do what it's asking you to do, and play the position that the coaches place you at instead of the position you want to play. Again, this is where you got to be a good coach. Put the player in the best position for the team. Also, what are you doing during the off season? Are you reading Football for Dummies, different books, philosophies? Are you looking at films? Are you going to football camps and clinics to get better? Well, that's 15% of the blame. Then I put 25% of the blame back on the organization, because you must, you know, the organization must bring in coaches/teachers, the best possible coaches and teachers, not just a friend of a friend that played high school football back in the day, or a Pop Warner coach just because he or she, you know, coached kids, but must put forth an effort to give the girls the best chance to win, i.e., good practice facilities. Also, equipment is a must. Then the last 10% can be blamed on the team that is doing the blowing out. You know, again, there are plays and players you can change around on a blowout. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen coaches kick onside kicks and the team was up 52-0 in the third quarter. I've seen teams with their first team still in with the game being up 63-0. You know, it just destroyed teams. You know, not only do you win and the fans are a little, this is typical women's football, they can't play, but also you deflate the other team. And now those players who wasn't coming to practice ain't ever going to come to practice, and those who are thinking about not coming to practice ain't coming to practice. And then they shoot up, you know, 14, 17 girls for the game, and we do this over and over and over again. So, again, those teams that are blown out of the teams, you can find ways not to score more points. more touchdowns, and still get better as a team. You know, putting your second string lineman, putting your second string quarterback, putting your second string running back, and just play basic plays. You don't have to do no trick plays, no hook and ladders, no pass plays, but just milk the clock. You know, if they score, they score. You know, but it's not no trickery going on. You know, so we went on and on and on, and that's been my rationale. And like I said, the bottom line is, you got to be able to recruit, you guys. You can't just say, oh, we got, you know, a million people in town. If a million people don't know about you, then they ain't going to play for you. And if you got one team in town and nobody knows about that, somebody else starts another part of town, those are 45 players that didn't even know that the other team existed. So, you know, I don't want to hear that a lot, yeah, two teams can't exist in one town. That's bull crap. If there's 20 high schools within a 20-mile radius and they got kids playing, you know, sports, it can be done. It falls back on the coaches and the organization to teach those players, because none of these women have experience from the get-go that played football. So that's not an excuse. You're more talented than me because your players played. No, they haven't played. Teams that get better have good programs. I think Coach Mark Green had mentioned something about that when they won the championship with SoCal Scorpions, that 95% made it to practice. You know, that was their participation in practice. 95% of the players made it to practice. You know, if you were at the 50-50 mark or 50% mark, you're not doing anything. You can't get nothing done. So, again, you know, that's my 2 cents, my 5 cents, my quarter, whatever you want to call it. The fact is, teams are going to exist. There's semi-pro teams out there within the same city. I got 13 men semi-pro teams here in Las Vegas, which is a 15-mile radius, and there's 15 teams, and they average about 35 to 40 guys per team. There's one team that got 60 players. And then there's another team that plays in the National League called the Las Vegas Kings. So, you know, it just goes on and on like that. But you know what? I'm going to get off the topic. I just wanted to hit that real quick because it was something that really is a stickler for me, and I think it's a stickler for everybody else out there about these blowouts. There's ways that we can get around the blowouts and make the game appealing to all. So here we go. You know what? I got some folks on the line. And I didn't even got into it, but let's go ahead and bring on 919. Who we got at the 919? Who's on the line? You rocking with Coach Lee.
This is Coach Holmes.
What's up, Coach Holmes, man? What's happening? Congratulations on that win this past weekend.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes. What's your feeling on these blowouts, man? I mean, it's a sticky topic out there, but I got to blame the coaches. What's your thought on that?
I have to agree with you wholeheartedly. It rests squarely on the coaches. From my experience, I mean, we started the Carolina Phoenix. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Coach Holmes, the head coach for the Carolina Phoenix. We started 3-4 years ago with 15 ladies, and the very first game we ever played with the first 12, we got beat 48-0, and we were actually, believe it or not too bad. We just had mistakes. The second game we played, we got beat by Louisiana 24-6, and you know that was another year, but that was only 24-6, and we didn't lose another game after that. That's with 15 girls. So,
right.
I mean, you know, the place that I come from, you teach the fundamentals like you were stressing. I mean, we started with this is a football because they don't have a remedial learning for a game like we do. As men for playing the game from when we were little. So we started with the very basics. This is a football. You advance it 10 yards at a time. You know, you block this way. You stay low. I mean, the very basics is what we started with. And with that,
right.
We've been able to win. I mean, the first season with 15 girls, we went 5-1, and we're 20-5 over three years. So there's no way nobody's blowing me out. That's just not going to happen. I don't know. You know, I take that for myself. I never blame my girls. It's me. If anything that happens to them, it's my fault. Because they
right.
have no knowledge except for what we teach them.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we have, as coaches, got to put them in the position so they can succeed. And I see a lot of coaches out there not putting the best players in the position to help the team, you know?
Absolutely. I see it constantly. As a matter of fact, I mean, I don't like, you know, putting dirty laundry out there, but the team that we played, the Carolina Queens, that's an extremely talented football team. We played them year in and year out the past. We're 7-1 against them now, but, you know, this is always tough games. This game was a blowout simply because they have a different coach now, and they just did not have the schematic fortitude to deal with us this year. I mean, we run a spread offense. We're fast. Our defense is high speed and is high pressure, and they just had no answers for us on either side of the football because he didn't – schematically, he just didn't match what we do. So, you know, I don't want to take all the credit for it. I have a very good coaching staff, and I have girls now that have been in my system for 3 and 4 years. So now they know what we do, and, I mean, you can see the difference as far as that goes. But at talent-wise, they probably matched us talent for talent, I mean person for person, as far as players go. Right. They have the talent. They just don't have the schematics. And you know, we didn't run the score up. We just scored, you know, enough to win the football game, but we could have made that a lot worse than it was.
Okay. Definitely that, because you know what? I learned a lesson because my father-in-law is my general manager, and he critiques me every week. And when we went out and went to play the slam, we were more talented than the slam, but it hurt when my father-in-law said, "Deion, you got out-coached." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" You know, we dropped a few balls and, you know, misplaced. He's like, "No, their coach suggested to you. He took his big girls out because you were such a fast team, and that he adjusted to alignment, you know, alignment and assignment type situation." And when I talked to Q after the game, Q said, "This is what we had to do to stop you." And I was wanted to figure out, you know, what was his game plan? Because as coaches, we don't get that opportunity to talk about, you know, schemes and how to stop somebody or how did we, you know, we meet up and then we play the game and then we off to, you know, our own thing. And that's why I have the Women's Football Camp at Conference, because I want everybody to come together, because this is how we learn from each other. But when I sat back, I said, "Wow," I watched the film, and I'm like, "Wow, he took out all his big linemen, put his running backs at linebacker, put his linebackers at D-line, and came at him." I mean, it was a great game, but now I start to see where my father-in-law was saying, "You got out coached," and I was like, "It hurt," but you know what? It happened. You know,
and we
lost that game. But my playing for all these rules, But and that's why we have, you know, I really emphasize on this show and put the blame on coaches, because it's sometimes some of these coaches or teams are coached by friends of the girls who just happen to be a male. To be honest,
they
don't know nothing about football and they play PlayStation all day. You know, they're my PlayStation coaches. You know what I'm saying? Or Xbox coaches. You know, Madden coaches or whatever, or NCAA coaches, and they just never played the game and don't understand it.
I understand. The worst ones I hear are the ones that coach Little League, and that just, you know, it drives me absolutely bananas, because, I mean, not to say a Little League coach can't be a good coach at this level, but he has to change the parameters from what he has in Little League. These are grown women, and they, I mean, their physical bodies are a lot bigger, a lot stronger. And they do things a lot different. I mean, I don't understand. There's two coaches that I know that coach Little League and think that prepared them to coach against me. And you know, not toot my own horn, but, you know, I played on the NFL level. So I'm going to bring those schemes and those same things that we've done to get to that point to the girls that I coach. And if you got a Little League scheme, it's not going to NFL level scheme. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, some teams have to deal with that. And I really hate it for those girls because they, you know, they're putting everything out there on the line for us, and running Little League schemes that will never, ever work against this type of schemes that the better teams run.
Right. And my thing is, my biggest push to all the teams, and I get a lot of phone calls and emails, especially from the players who don't have coaches, and they're like, "Well, coach, where can I get a good coach from?" And I tell them, I say, "You know what? Go to the most successful high school program in your city. Go sit down with the head coach. It might not be the head coach that might want to coach you guys during this offseason, but a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator, a JV coach who want to get their opportunity to be a head coach. Start there. You know, go to the most successful program and have them implement something with you guys, and that's how you build a good relationship and a good coaching staff."
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Well, Coach, you know what? Like I said, I'm glad you dropped on. You guys had a great game this past week. I hope you guys have a great year this year. I'm rooting for everybody. I root for everybody. I don't have no favorite teams. I just want to see some quality ball and some good games and some hard hitting and all that other good stuff, because I really believe in the product, and we just got to get more coaches on board and want to get out there and learn. And I know you're doing your homework, and And we saw it this past weekend against the Queens. But I know how talented the Queens are. I talk to Coach Webb all the time. We talk yin yang all day on Facebook and who's the best, whatever. You know, that's just part of that's part of me. You know, I'm a poop talker on the field. You know, and I talk a lot of stuff
right.
on the field. And you know, no disrespect, but it's part of the game. We have fun at doing it, and when you lose, you better call me. You know, if you if we win, we gonna call each other. You know, that's just part of the game. You know, so
that's right.
Hey,
right.
So I'm gonna move on, Coach, and you got a show too, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. On Wednesday nights, we try to preview what the upcoming week and kind of touch on what happened the past week and spotlight a player or two that are handling their business for the Carolina Phoenix. And we want to put it out there so, you know, people know that we're here and that there's good football being played in North Carolina.
All right, well, plug in real quick. Where can people find you at?
Wednesday nights at Blog Talk Radio with 8 o'clock Eastern, West Coast, and 11 o'clock on the East Coast.
Okay. And it's on Blog Talk Radio, right?
Blog Talk Radio.
Football? Okay, definitely. Well, I definitely
Carolina Phoenix football.
Plug in. Got you. All right. That was Coach Holmes, everybody. You know, like I said, hey, I love just talking. That's what this football show is all about. It ain't got to be no agenda set out. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk some football. Let's talk some real football. And like you said, there's a lot of coaches that think like me, just don't have the opportunity to speak in an open forum like myself. And like I said, I got the kneeling board up. And it's for everybody to come up with their concepts and ideas and put it out there. You know, nobody's wrong. And that's the whole thing about the show. That is the whole thing about the show. You know, not the show, but the kneeling board. Nobody's wrong in what they say. It's your opinion. And all we're trying to do is filter through that opinion and try to pull things that we can actually work together on and to make it right. Because everybody has the right answer. It's just who's going to step up and walk the walk and not just talk. You know, so again, if you're on the show, it's 347-826-7278. If you want to get on the line, just push 1 and pound and you are on. That's all you have to do is push the 1 button, a pound button, and you're rocking and rolling. Again, you rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee. This is me. I just get Mr. Hyped up on this thing. You know, my girls say, Coach, you are just like a different personality when it comes to football. You know, I'm pretty laid back. I tell a couple of jokes here and there. But when it's talking about football, man, I just get the jitters. Like, you know, well, I eat six big donuts and a pint of milk every day or six big cookies and a pint of milk every day. So I'm pretty sugar high all the time. But anyway, this show, was supposed to be and is about, you know, the WFA review show. And like I said, I'm here to tell you how it is and where it's been, you know. Last year in 2009 was our first season as a WFA. Not that the teams are all new, but the WFA was pretty new, the Women's Football Alliance. And we had quite a few teams come over and play. I think we had like 36 teams. You know, don't quote me on the numbers. But the fact is we had a great league last year. And the defending champs, the St. Louis Lamb, again, my hat's off to them. They put together a great season. They have some great coaches. They got a great organization. The West Michigan Mayhem, who was also in the championship game for their second time in a row, also had a good coaching staff and good program, and it was a great championship game. I didn't get a chance to make it down to New Orleans. I had some other family obligations that I would have to take care of if we did make a championship. So it was just wasn't the writing in the books for me to be there. But you know what, I follow it closely. As you guys know, I get a lot of emails and things of that nature. You know, so the bottom line is, you know, we're going to have a great year this year. And, you know, hey, DJ, we got another caller. Let's put them on. Hey, let's do what we do. So, again, we got a caller on. Say hello. You rocking 4 quarters, Coach Lee? Who's speaking? Yo, you 4 quarters of Coach Lee. You want to drop in a little bit? Let us know what you want to do. Okay. All right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We just move on like we're gonna do. I was talking about the WFA, and we had a great season. And I think Jeff King did a hell of a job last year putting this all together in short notice. Not that the league was built up in short notice. It was something that was built up. It was built up from late August with a group of teams. Everybody made commitments in October. Then the NWFA wind up, you know, doing their thing, and then all of a sudden it kind of fell apart, and a lot of those teams were what we call free agent teams, and majority joined the WFA, some went over to IWFL, which was great. And the fact is, we had an awesome league last year, you know, for the first time, first year I meant. And, you know, the winners, again, you know, we had some perks as teams in the playoffs. We got funds back from the league, you know, for the second round of the playoffs, not the first round. And also the championship. There was also, you know, the champions got, you know, rings and they got uniforms. You know, that's something that has not been done before throughout women's football, as far as I know. You know, if I'm wrong, hey, call me. You got the phone number, 347-826-7278. But again, it was a great concept, and I think we have a great thing going on in the WFA. And let's talk a little bit about last year. Last year, I'm not going to go over the records or anything, but you know what? Let's do this. Coach Holmes got me all pumped up, you know. And my thing is this: how do you know a team is good? How do you know a team is good? For one, you look at the stats. And that's one thing that we really pushed in the WFA last year. All teams must put up their stats, you know. It's a way that real football fans talk about football. And if you want to be considered a real football team or a real football player or organization, you got to have stats to back it up. You can't just say that, Deion Lee is a good football player. Everybody will say, well, why you say that? Because he just is. It don't work that way. You know, stats bag up what the player does on the field. And it talks about the team. So while we're talking about that, you know, let's talk about team stats from last year. Last year, I'm just going to give you the top 10. Overall team stats as far as passing and running combined. Yeah, the Burn was the number one team. They averaged 385 yards a game. You had the Slam at 374 a game. You had the Riptide at 361. The Liberty Bells at 360. You had the Speed. You know, you had the Speed at 359 a game. The Mayhem at 342. The Bells at 341. The Thunder at 338. The Dixie Blues averaged 331 yards a game, and then you had the Comets at 328. Out of those teams, I would say 6 out of those 10 teams made the playoffs, because as it says on the Ning board, numbers don't lie. You know, that's how you know a team is good, when their numbers are up there. You know, so again, how's that broken down? If you go into the rushing, the top 10 teams rushing in the WFA last year were the Burn at 369, the Liberty Bells at 321, the Outlaws at 284, the Comets at 274, the Thunder 272, the Bells 270, the Riptide 267, the Slam 259, the Assault 243, and the Speed 240. So as an onlooker from outside, not even playing none of these teams, as a coach, again, I got to get my coaching hat on. If I got to play these teams, I got to understand that these top 10 teams like to do what? They like to run the ball. So even if I don't see any film on them, I got to design my defense to stop the run, because that's what they do well. You know, if I go to the individual stats, you know, I can go to the leading rusher of the team and assume that they carry the ball X amount of time. So again, stats. This is why folks hide the stats, you guys. I already know the trick of the trade. You don't put up stats because you don't want good coaches like myself to figure out who the key people are, especially when you don't send film. You know, but that's different in the WFA. We have a film program, and we can see film on all the teams at any given time. So that's something that we institute as real coaches. I want to see these other players. How can you expect me to vote for an all-star if you ain't got stats? How do you expect me to vote for an all-star on your team if I had never seen them play? You know, I just don't understand that. And that's how it's been for 10 years in football, that we get these makeshift all-star teams based on who had the power to vote them in, not the coaches. And this is the funny thing. Owners were voting in players, or delegates are voting in the players for all-stars. But those owners and delegates don't sit in there and watch film and break down the stats and films. It's the coaches that should make that selection. It's the players who play against those players to make that selection. Not the owners who's sitting up in the booth or up in the stands or taking tickets at the gate. How they know? It's the coaches who have a better understanding of who's a good player and who's not a good player. I'm pretty sure the selection committee for the Team USA, they went by stats. I know because it's real coaches that selected this situation. They had to go by stats and they had to go by film, not just on he say, she say. Stats don't lie. So, again, that was the rushing situation. Rushing situation. There it comes to my thing. I love to pass the ball. I live in Vegas, warm weather. Hey, we got to put on the show. I don't want to be 3 yards in cloud of dust type of offense and people get bored. So we air the ball out. So, you know, I'm not biased. I'm just telling the truth. I hate when people put that word in front of how they feel. I'm just biased. I might be biased. I'm not biased. I just tell it how it is. All right? Because I'm Coach Lee, public enemy number one. You rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. But let's go through the passing situation. He had the Showgirls averaging 180 yards a game. He had the Lynx at 156. He had the Barracudas at 144. He had the Mayhem at 137. You had the Dixie Blues at 126. The Speed at 118. The Slam at 115. The Assault at 114. Mustangs at 105. And the Riptide at 93. And as you can see, as a league, you know, women ain't passing the ball that often because it's a big drop from number one to the top. I mean, from number 1 to 10, and then imagine this, 22 other teams below 93 yards a game. So, again, you know, in my game, and I think Coach Holmes had hit it here on the knee board, he strives to go 60-40 pass run. You know what? That's the same thing that we do. We do 60-40 pass run, too. You know, we're average. We are balanced offense. You know, if you look at my stats, we passed the ball 25 times this game. Guess how many times we ran the ball? Between 24 and 27 times. It's almost a 50-50 deal through our games because we're balanced attacking the offense. You know, I love the pass. Yes, big plays come in passing. Why? Because the women have not developed their defensive back skills. But, again, as a coach, I'm going out there to recruit some basketball players. That's what I'm going to go do, some point guards, some power forward. Well, not power forward, but the three. The three position, the small forwards, free safety, strong safety, point guards on the corners. Why? Because basketball players are taught to be the best athletes on earth. They run forward, backwards, side to side. They do it all. They jump. They got timing. They block shots. They steal balls. They react. They're reactionary players. So, again, as a coach, that's what I'm doing. So you can't tell me that there's not 10 basketball players in your town that played high school basketball. So don't give me that you need 2 million people to recruit 30 girls. That ain't where it's at. So, again, you know, that's the next level of women's football is the passing game. Because, again, if the average fan is wondering, well, anybody can turn around and hand the ball off, get 3 yards and fall down, but can your girls throw the ball down the field? Now, I'm not talking about the screen play. I'm talking about 40, 50-yard bombs because we stress the field in our offense. But that's what the average fan wants to see. Yes, I agree. Power forwards make excellent tackles and defensive ends. Yes, Coach Holmes. Man, we got to hook up, man, because you think like me. But he's on the Ning board dropping in, so he's making it happen. So the bottom line is this. We got to step our game up. And if you notice, the last two championship games out of the IWFL that I have watched, the Tier 1, have been predominantly the passing team of the Force when they were passing the ball against the Diamonds, but unfortunately some things didn't pan out and the Diamonds came through and won. But the Tribe, who went 4-4 one year, come back with this new offense and just airing it out. They were just airing it out. Hey, I got a call on area code 325. What's up? You on the line with Coach Lee?
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Who we got on the line?
This is Rammy from Sports Geeks. I wanted to say hello.
Rammy, what's happening, boss?
Stop. I'll tell you what, Coach Lee, you're talking very good tonight. You know, the stats and everything's looking very well. And I got to talk to some players earlier today, a player earlier today about stats. What about the teams that have close games, but they lose? Like, you know, in the NFL, you got Detroit lose by 3 points, by 7 points. Like that. What do you think about that right there? You know, you got some teams in there that are pretty damn good in the women's tackle football that just cannot, you know, pass that next level. They're just like right there at the cusp, right at their tongue. They're biting their tongue and they're ready to score and they just can't do it. You know, I mean, stats are really well, but you can't really go on that. That's what I think. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, again, I put the blame on the coaches. You know,
okay.
Stats are great, like you said, but it's the coach's job to get the team over the hurdle, over the hump. That's why in the NFL, you don't fire all the players because they ain't winning. Who you fire? You fire the coach because the coach has to be the motivator, the one that gets you up and over the hump. You know, I'm like a psychologist out there. I'm in each and every one of these girls' head, be it good or bad. But, you know, the fact is they believe in me. And because I have an open ear, I listen, I express, and I'm concerned. So now when it's time to get on the field, they're willing to die for me. Just like Prince, I will die for you, Purple Rain. That's the attitude that the players got to have. You know, they have to die for their coach, ride or die, point blank. And when they start believing in you, when you tell them that on this play, we're going to score, and then they turn around and they score, guess what? You got them for life. So the bottom line is that coach. That coach has got to get them over that hurdle. And if you lose by 3 points, you got to find some positives out of that. You know, I'm not a big believer in moral victories, but right now in women's football, you got to find those moral victories. And I give you an example again. Yes, we lost our very first game to the SoCal Scorpions, but when I went back and reflected on it, I said, ladies, we were down 14-0 at halftime. We had 3 turnovers in the first half. You know, they scored 2 other touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So the score was 21-0. Mind you, a team has been around for 4 or 5 years. Now, imagine if we come to practice every day. Imagine if we took everything that coach laid out for you serious and you went in there and lift weights and you got better. You did films. You can be much better. So, again, it's that coach. That coach got to get under the skin and have these ladies believe in them. And then once they get beyond that, then they will do similar to what the Phoenix have done, have gone and rallied and went 26 games, you know?
Okay. That's what I was trying to figure out and stuff because, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, I don't know about stats. You know, they really don't perceive a team because the team could be better than what it looks like in their stats. You know what I mean? They could just be so much better. But you break up a great point. The coach needs to step it up, right?
Yes. And it's got to be the head coach. It can't be this is the other problem. You got a head coach and then you got assistant coaches. You got to realize your players know who is the better of the coaches, and that's one of the issues in football across the board. You know, you got one coach who's the head coach who don't know much, but then you got an assistant coach who's taking orders from the head coach, but the players know that this person should be the head coach. And then you get strife amongst the team. But all the coaches got to be on the same page, and you got to learn how to be a good assistant coach. And that's one thing that I had to be, even though I knew more than the head coach, but I couldn't let my players know that and figure that I should be the head coach, you know, if this was high school or whatever. You know, I had to buy into the head coach's program and stay on board with that coach to keep that team together because it just takes one incident to separate the teams. And in women's football, it just takes a little bitty, 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 bitty issue. And then you got drama all over the place, you know. So you got to be a good philosopher. You got to be a good listener. And you got to be a good motivator. And you got to be, in all, a good teacher. Not just X and O, but teacher.
And another point I got to bring up, there's a team that's going to come after you this year, and they're really, really hot. And they will see you down the road in the playoffs for sure, or either championship game. You just need to watch out. They're coming for you.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey,
they're coming for
you. You know me. Bring it on.
I'm not trying to be biased or anything. I got to stay neutral, but man, do the Mustangs look hot. I'm telling you, from last year to this year, 6-2 last year, one game from going to the playoffs, they're looking hot this year, and they're coming for you, baby.
Hey, you know what? And I know, they got a couple of ex-Diamonds over there, too. See, I do my homework, too, Remy. Trust me. I know what they got over there. And I got a couple of players that had contacted me. And, you know, again, for some reason, I'm like a magnet. Everybody contacted me. Coach, what should I do? I don't like it over here. Well, you still want to play football? Yeah, well, go play over here. That's the one beautiful thing about football. If you're not happy here, then go somewhere else. You know,
yeah, and, yeah,
oh, that's the big users over there. There we go.
I'm telling you, they're coming. It's a coming. I mean, just be prepared. I got to talk a little crap. I love it.
Come on, you know, I ain't got Coach Bartley on the line anymore, so, you know, I got to find somebody I can talk smack to. You know, that's
there
what makes this exciting. This makes the show exciting. It makes women's football exciting. You know, that's what boxing is missing. The Don King. What happened to the Don King of boxing? The big
fight. We're looking at this point. Like, I'm just like in the NFL. I'm all hyped up. You know, just like when I see Bears playing, I'm doing the same thing for the Muslims because, man, I just love football. There we go. You know, because this is so awesome. You know, we're going to have a great year this year here in the Dallas area. I'm loving it. I'm just loving it so much. So I just cannot wait for this season to start off this Saturday. It's going to be so great. I'm going to be going crazy.
Oh, yeah, definitely that. And you know what? Like I said, come on the show anytime. I come on your show, and we talk about it. Actually, I'm actually talking to some women MMA fighters here in Vegas. Because, again, as you can see, I'm a promoter. That's what I did for a living. I'm a promoter of concerts and music and artists that you wouldn't know about if it wasn't for me getting them going from three years before they became superstars, you know. So I know what it takes to get over that hump as far as the promoting of the game. But, you know what, we're ready for the Mustangs. Let me tell you, we got some stuff. And we're going to bring it. And, you know, I talked to Anne-Marie over there, or Lynn Marie, and I dropped a little knowledge and, hey, if y'all make it, welcome to Vegas, because we ain't leaving. Championship game this year. We got so much motivation this year to be in championship game.
Same
you
here.
Know, the mayor of our city is like, Coach, you got to bring not only the championship game here, but you guys got to be playing in it. You know, and Vegas is going to roll out the red carpet if we make it. So, you know, we got a lot on our shoulders right now, and that's what we want to do. We want to be in it. So bring on the Mustangs. You know what? Bring on the power. You know, who else is over in that conference? You know, we don't care. We'll take them all on at the same time. It don't matter.
I love it. One more thing before I get off. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the show tonight, I'm going to be broadcasting live with live video the Mustangs game this Saturday, 7 p.m. in Bedford, Texas, on my show Sports Geeks. Just search for Sports Geeks on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll come right to the show. I'll be doing it at 7 o'clock. Join me and check it out.
Well, I definitely will catch the podcast of it because we'll be out in Utah. But that's another way I scout too. I scout based on what I hear, what I see. And so if that's another opportunity for us to get a scout in, I'm there. So, again, that would be this Saturday at 7 o'clock, what, Central Time, correct?
Central Time, that's right.
Okay, definitely at Sports Geek. So we definitely will post that up on the Ning board, and I definitely will shoot that out to everybody on the Ning board, all 1,700. And how many members we got, 1,750? Somewhere around there.
Yep.
So, hey, Remy, I want to thank you so much. Actually, 1,742 to be exact. So, anyway, I want to thank you for coming on to the show, and we just going to move forward with this thing because, you know, we're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee.
All right. We'll talk to you later, bud. You have a good night.
You got it. That's right, Remy bye. From Sports Geek. You know, like I said, it's beautiful that we have shows that are promoting women's sports, women's football, and all that other good stuff. You know, so where was I at? I was at, oh, we just finished the passing rankings and stuff like that, the top 10. You know, and again, this is how, you know, people are seeing next year's team or this year's team based on last year's stats. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there that really talk about, Well, you can't base your team off of what happened last year. I'm like, that's all you have to base it off of. You know, I've heard coaches who start from scratch all over again because they don't know what they have. And I'm like, you got to recruit to your system. You know, if one piece of the puzzle is gone, you got to replace it with somebody as equal, if not better. I'm not going to change my offense because my star wide receiver ain't coming back. No. I got to find me another star wide receiver. I got to find me a deep threat. I got to find me somebody who got some hands. You know, same thing with the quarterback. If I'm not developing the second string quarterback, then that's my fault. Again, it goes back on the coaching. You stick with your philosophy. You stick with what you know, what you can do, and you recruit based on what you need. That's how you do it if you want to sustain a program, unless you want to go 8-0 one year, 4-4 the next year, 8-0 the next year, and then 4-4, because you're inconsistent. You got to have some consistency. You got to have some consistency, you know, and that's what you bring as a coaching staff. Fortunately, unfortunately, I've had different coaches every year. This is the second year that I have my receiver quarterback coach. Actually, this will be his third season. My line coach came one year and then left the following year, and now he's back again. But outside of that, I haven't found enough coaches here in the Vegas market that know how to coach. You know, they come out there with the X's and O's, but they don't know how to teach. And when they don't know how to teach, I got to dismiss them and let them go because it's all about teaching. And, again, that comes from me as a head coach. I can't have coaches out there who don't know how to teach, you know. So, again, let's go back. You know, another aspect of a team was penalties, and I really hate that my team is, like, second to the top of the list on this, but team penalties is another thing. You know, it shows a lack of discipline. It shows lots of mistakes, or it shows a sense of aggression. And for those who watch my films, offense and defense, I'm aggressive. I dictate the tempo of the game, both offensively and defensively. And if some of my girls get off, you know, offsides a couple of times, I don't care as long as they're doing it aggressively and full speed. You know, I don't like for my defense to think. Let's go react and go make plays. You know, when you got thinkers out there, think about this. If you're sitting there thinking and you don't know much about football, how aggressive would you really be on defense? Not at all, because you'd still be sitting in your three-point stand thinking about what you're supposed to do. So my philosophy on defense is keep it simple, stupid, and everybody's gapping. Everybody got one gap. Like I said, I don't care if my information's out there. That's just me. We are gap defense. And when everybody has one responsibility and when a play breaks down, instead of the girls arguing who's supposed to be there, we already know because it's by assignment. So if somebody busted the B gap, we already know that should have been the strong side tackle because we're slanting to the left. So B gap is responsible for the strong side tackle. You know, when you got a defense where you got too many people, you know, trying to do two gaps, it's just too much. So again, I just want to let all the callers out there know if you want to jump on board, you know, it's 347-826-7278. Press 1 in the pound and you are on with Coach Lee. That's all you got to do is press 1 in pound and we can drop whatever you want to talk about. Like I said, this is a WFA review. It's not much of a review. We went over some stats, but again, it's a teaching point, and that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to teach you and understand why certain teams get certain rankings, you know. And I would go over that, but I just wanted to go over some of those stats. And, of course, I can go over individual stats, but see, I haven't had the time to go over each and every roster to see if this player is coming back. That's why I went over team stats, because as a team, I have a better understanding of what the philosophy of that coach is trying to do, you know. I don't know what they're doing set-wise, but philosophy-wise, I know. So when we go into individual stats, WFA has individual stats. Oh, I didn't even go over team penalties. My bad. Team penalties. You had the Speed giving up 92 yards in penalties, Showgirls 80 yards in penalties, Riptide 69, Outlaws 68, Slam 62, Comet 55, Barracudas were 48.8, The Force was giving up 48.1, the Machine 46.9, and the Thunder 46.8. Again, you know, we the radars of the WFA, always getting penalties, but it wasn't like no enforcement-like conduct. A lot of those, believe it or not, are offside because we blitz. We blitz a lot, and we anticipate. And like I said, I don't yell at the girls if they anticipate it and we get caught. Oh, well, we just got to come back strong the next play. You know, that's the bottom line, come back strong the next play. Well, let's go over some individual stats because, again, remember, numbers don't lie. And there's some impressive stats out there. Let's see. Here we go. Passing. The top 20, but I'm just going to do top 5 in each category. I ain't going to go down the whole 20. I might go 10. Who knows? But the quarterback from the Mayhem, which is Judy Markwalt, she completed 66 out of 136 passes for 48% percentile for 1,079 yards. She averaged 16.3 yards of pass or completion, 15 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. And that was in an 8-game season. Carrie Mitch, Las Vegas Showgirls, completed 73 passes out of 134 passes for 54.5 percentile for 1,051 yards. 14.4 yards a play or catch, 17 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And mind you, that was in 6 games because we had 2 games that were forfeited due to the fact that a team dropped out, you know, 2 weeks before the season. Hey, I can't, and we line up with who we play, you know what I'm saying? But in a 6-game season, that's not bad. So she was on pace to throw for about a little over 1,500 yards at 180 yards a game. So she definitely would have led the league. Then you got Sarah McVickers from the Lynx, who completed 48 out of 94 passes for 51 percentile for 909 yards. What was it? 18.9 yards to catch. I mean, the pass, 9 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Then you had Rachel Fisher with the Assault, who completed 46 out of 105, which was a 43.8 percentile for 17 yards per pass, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And then you had Brinkley Mack from the Dixie Blues, who completed 22 out of 37 passes for 59 percentile for 761, averaged 34.6 yards a pass, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So just taking those numbers, as you can see, you know, the Dixie Blues run the ball like hotcakes. But when they did pass the ball, they averaged almost 35 yards completion. So, again, they're a big play offense, but ran the ball and just got things going, you know. As you can see, we were a little bit more consistent. We passed the ball 134 times in 6 games, so we like to air it out. You know, like I said, we do what we do. But again, this is how you determine who is the best quarterback. You know, think about it. In the NFL and in the NCAA, this is what win Heisman trophies. It's the stats. This is how another coach can feel that another player is just as good, if not better. Of course, it's the system that you're in that can make you or break you. But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, then we had the top rushers in the league. We had Jennifer, was that Boiling from the Thunder, had 94 carries for 1,266 yards. She averaged 13.5 yards a carry. I'll give her the ball every play. That's a first down every play. Then you had Jessica Plunkett from the Bells, 128 carries for 1,107 yards. She averaged 8.6 yards a carry with 18 touchdowns. Denisha Garrison from the Fusion, 102 carries for 1,078 yards, 10.6 yards to carry, 17 touchdowns. Again, another first down every time she carried the ball. You got Stephanie Walker with the Burn, 78 carries, 1,026 yards for 13.2 yards and 12 touchdowns. And then you got Lakeisha Johnson from the Riptide, 108 carries for 1,023 for 9.5 yard per carry and 13 touchdowns. And even though this is number six, I got to say it. What's his name? Mara Rosa Roach from the city, Liberty Bells. I think I've seen some highlights on it. She carried the ball, mind you, 32 times, 1,002 yards. That's 31 yards to carry, 13 touchdowns. That's somebody you got to stop. The average 31 yards to carry? Woo-wee! Woo-wee! That's what I'm talking about. You know, that's just how it goes. Just how it goes. Hey, I got more callers on the line. I got more calls. I don't want to ignore anybody. If you want to get on, just push one and pound. Just push one and pound. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's how we do it on the meeting board. But, Leah, you on the line? You want to talk? Huh? Okay, the 626, that's probably my boy Duncan, 626. He's just probably laughing at me. What'd I tell you? What's up, Mr. Duncan?
How you doing, dude? I was listening to you.
I'm a funny guy, ain't I?
Yeah, you're a football guy. I'm the one that got you into this. You are definitely a football guy.
Yeah, you got me to joke around here. Yeah, I tell you that every time. I didn't spend so much money on women's football, it's ridiculous. I could have bought four or five houses by now.
You and me both. How about 10? Anyway,
I know.
You know, basically, I got a couple of minutes. I was having dinner and just wanted to speak to you a little bit on the SoCal team and the Amazon.
Yeah, talk to me, man. You had a great win this weekend. You butted heads with your rivals, the SoCal Scorpions, and you know, give us a little brief recap of what took place. You know, what did you see? Where down?
Well, you know, I kind of thought that we would kind of blow them out. I really did, but they played well. They always have played well against us, and we've always played well against them. But being as though they had been off for almost two and a half years. I just thought the rust would set in, but they played very well. Personally, you want my opinion. Personally, I don't think anybody else will beat them in the league. I really don't. They're that good. Of course, I don't know what the Quakes have, but they're going to have their hands full with them. I guarantee you that. They're going to have their hands full. I really personally commend them for playing a great game. They really played a great game, the girls. And
right.
I got to commend the coaches also. They did a good job, but we were set up to really blow them out, but I didn't know whether we'd blow them out or not because we had no scrimmages. And what happened was everybody that said it was going to scrimmage was a no-show. So, you know, it made it pretty unpredictable. I didn't really know what we were going to do. I know we got a good team. We got the same team we've had for the last 4 years, or 5 years, but they're all in good shape. They're all ready to play, and they want to win a championship. We've won 3 division championships in the last 3 years. We've only lost 3 games in 3 years, and that was in postseason. But, it's just I just want to commend those guys, and that they got a good team, and we have an excellent team. So those girls don't have no reason to hang their head down at SoCal. I personally don't think they'll lose another game in the league. I really don't.
Right. You know what? And the thing about it, even though you made me lose $1,000 on that game because I had a 3-touchdown spread to cover. So, you know what? SoCal, they surprised me, though, because I thought it was going to be another situation like the energy. You know, taking that year off does a lot of damage. You know, in the learning process for the girls, especially fundamentals. And with them taking 2.5 years off and then coming to play you guys their first game, or you guys going to them, and then you guys driving it down in their face in their first drive. Like I said, I'm all over this, over the board. I know exactly. I'm like perched on top of the scoreboard and watching all these games, you know, and taking it in. And I thought after you guys scored that first touchdown, that first drive, you guys made a statement, and then they came back and answered. You know, I think a wide receiver caught a ball and went 60 on you or something like that, or 40 or something like that.
You know, the thing about that is, I guess I kind of opened my eyes, too, and dropped my lips wide open. The girl is really fast. She's like you said about basketball. I think this girl is a WNBA basketball player, and I think she's out for the season with a knee now. But kind of blew me out.
Speak up a little bit louder.
Okay.
A little bit louder.
It kind of blew me out because the way she ran, because I have so much speed back there, too, and she just ran right by him. And, you know, I think it kind of surprised our girls, too, for somebody to be that fast on another team because we have a lot of speed. And it just blew me out. I haven't spoke to the girls about it yet, but our girls about it yet. But I think this girl was a track star at one time. I don't know much about her. I just know that she flew. She took off. That made one of the biggest differences in the game right there. It really kind of opened our eyes to say, wow, what is going on, you know?
Right. But, you know, and you're like me. You're a track guy. So we both know we got to go out there and recruit them track girls because speed kills in football.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't care what, if it's Junior Pop Warner, if it's Pony League or what, speed is the thing. As you get older and you got speed and strength, it's even better. You know, it's
right.
Speed kills out there. It really does.
Speed kills, definitely that. Hey, Coach, I got some more callers calling
okay,
in.
Okay, I'll let you go. I just want to holler at you because you are my friend, it's a good thing for women's football to have talk shows and you know, not be biased because there is two leagues. You know, and I just love the girls playing football because I played football all the way through. And it's just a good thing to have a talk show and not be biased to either league, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you're in IWSO, I'm in WSA, and we talk consistently. But, you know, when it's season time, hey, I'm coaching up my team. I ain't got time to talk to you, Doug. But, you know, if I got something, if I need some information or, you know, some advice, you know, I'm always calling or you calling me and say, hey, Lee, what about this, what about that? And we go at it. Cause that's what coaches do, am I right?
That's true.
All right.
Anyway,
well, let me go ahead and move on.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. Hey, take it easy and I'll call it.
You got it. That's Coach Duncan from the LA Amazons talking about his weekend here down in San Diego. I hear we got another caller on. You rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. Who's on?
Hey, this is Coach Mike.
Coach Mike,
Lone Star Mustangs. How you doing, Dion?
Man, I'm doing great, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Ready for a good game this weekend with Oklahoma City. Hoping everything gets together well this week.
Yeah, that is definitely one of my games of the week. To be interested to see what Oklahoma is coming back with. They're similar to what SoCal just went through with the SoCal Scorpions being off a year to reorganize.
Yep.
And now they're coming full-fledged. And I hear you got a good team.
Yeah, we're looking pretty good right now. You know, of course, injuries can happen and all that kind of stuff, so we just got to work on keeping everybody healthy. And we've got a good, strong roster again. You know, coming up 52 players again, and returning 37 veterans. We've got 8 new players from another team, and then tacked on a few rookies. So, very, very few rookies on the team. We've got a lot of good experience under our belt after last year.
Okay, you got your number one fan is on the meeting board talking about give it to me. He wants you to give it to me, Coach. You know,
yeah.
I'm like this. The championship got to go through Vegas. I don't care. This is how we do it. This is how we talk. This is how I make it happen. You know, if you want to be the championship game, you got to come through Vegas. It's in Vegas. So we got a little bit more riding right now. So I don't think there's a team out there that can beat it. I don't care. 115 teams out there, they're going to be ranked 2 or below because we're going to be number 1.
Well, I wish you luck with that, Dion. We'll see. We'll see once we get started out here, brother.
Yeah, I
overheard you guys talking a little bit ago about, you know, the team's taking a year off and all that stuff.
Right.
And how it hurts the teams. And I'll tell you, I went to the Dallas Diamonds and Houston Energy game. In fact, about 20 of our girls or more went down there and watched the game. And, you know, the interesting thing, I know a lot of you folks weren't able to be there. There was a good crowd, you know, good bunch of people there. But they had 4 touchdowns called back because of penalties for Houston. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a couple big momentum-changing penalties in there that, you know, especially in the first half, if they had just been able to, you know, a little block in the back here, a little holding penalty there, you know, if they had been able to control themselves a little bit, the tables would have been turned pretty strong. But, you know, the interesting thing about that was that was even happening. Houston was running a offense. I don't know where they came up with this thing, but it had it just didn't look like it had a chance from the start. They had everything cramped up in the backfield so bad that they couldn't they'd start a play, and their offensive linemen were already foot to foot. So they're stepping all over each other, and the running backs are running into each other, and it just looked really ugly.
Right.
So I was really surprised. If they had an offense at all, they would have had a chance.
Yeah, and that's playing up Dallas's alley, you know, because Dallas got those, you know, Diamonds got those big girls up front, those big backers. You know, my thing is, you don't want to go foot to foot against a big powerhouse team. You want to spread them out and make them play in space.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I thought Wiggins was going to, you know, he had called me, and we talked about some spread option offense, and he asked me how did I implement it in our game plan, because he likes seeing the highlights of, you know, of our games. I was like, dude, we just work on it, and we have fun with it, you know. And when the girls have fun, they want to learn, you know. But if they're going to go toe-to-toe, and like I said, 3 yards and cloud of dust offense, and you're asking for a lot of push, and you're not in the weight room, you know, Dallas is going to kick your butt, because those girls are in the weight room. I modeled our program off of the Dallas Diamonds after we played them in 2007 2 times. I talked to Coach, you know, and I wanted him to actually be one of the keynote speakers at our women's football camp and conference, but he had other obligations. But that was the model. The Dallas Diamonds have been the model of women's football for the last 5 years. And the bottom line is you got to hit the weight room if you're going to try to be a power team. And I just couldn't see why Houston went that way. And I'm pretty sure he has one of the best coaches, I mean, best quarterbacks to ever play. You know, she can throw the ball.
You're talking about Cantu?
Yeah, Cantu, yes.
Yeah, they let her air it out a little bit there during the second half. And when she was airing it out, they were giving themselves a chance, just couldn't pick up any momentum. They'd go back to that little, I guess it was a kind of a cramped up version of a wing T is probably the best way to describe it. The backs going in motion were kind of side shuffling across instead of just doing a good fast motion across there like you'd normally see in the wing T. But it was just odd looking. You know, if they had been able to, you know, spread that field out a little bit, you could tell that they were being able to put a lot of pressure on the DBs for Dallas when they would spread that field.
Right. Well, you know, you are one of the top teams in the league this year, and, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to the possible playoffs. Like I said, I'm going 8-0. I'm sorry. I have to believe, because my players have to believe in what I believe in. If I have any doubt, then that leaves them doubt. So, you know, when they hear me on the show, they're like, Coach, you putting us out there. I say, there you go. It's called pressure. Live up to it. You know?
Yeah, we got that. We've got an extra game, so I'm shooting for 9-0 there, at least on the first part, and then we'll go 13-0 for the year. How's that sound?
Yeah, we got an extra game. You know, you guys going 11-1 might be doable right now. You guys might go 11-1 this year. You'll be undefeated until you hit them showgirls. We're going to start doing the line dance on you guys and kicking up those high kicks and do what we do in the end zone. You know?
We'll see.
They break dance in the end zone. You know, they do the Michael Jackson dance in the end zone. I mean, we have fun out there, Coach. You know?
You remember that when you see the Cupid shuffle in your end zone. That's okay.
it's great talking to you, Coach. You got anything else you want to add? I had feedback real quick there. You still there? 1-2-1-2, am I still on? 1-2-1-2, am I still on? Okay, he fell off. I'm still on, though, right? All right, cool. That was Coach Mike from the Mustangs. I guess he got cut off because they so hot. Yeah, right. You know, he just couldn't stay in the kitchen because them showgirls are real hot over here. But anyway, Coach Mike got a very respectable program over there. In their first year, again, they went 6-2 last year, just missing the playoffs. I got a chance to see a couple of the some film on them. And like I said, I was anticipating after us supposedly beating the Slam last year, playing one of those Texas teams, but the Texas team actually lost as well, and it wound up being the Liberty Bells. And I think the Liberty Bells is probably one of the scariest teams out there. If they still got that running back, man, they're going to be something to deal with, you know. So the bottom line is, you know, it comes down to coaching. Again, you got to be confident. You got to know what you're doing, and you got to let your players feel that confidence, that vibe off of you that, hey, I know what I'm doing. You just do what I ask you to do, and if it don't work, blame me. But if it do work, it's because you did it. So, again, you got to kind of flip the roles on them and let them know that it worked because of them, but it didn't work because of me. Again, some of the top teams, again, I talk about the Burn coming back, Baltimore, they're looking to come out of the East as being one of the top teams. Let me go over to another page real quick. I know I'm all over the place here, but that's just my show. I like being all over the place. That's what gives the show what it is, that funk, that vibe, you know what I'm saying? And I love for you guys to call in, and we can do this each and every week, you know. This is what it's all about. It's getting our philosophy out there. It's talking to each other, say, hey, I know you, Coach Mike. Hey, I know you, Coach Lee. You know, we become friends. We become brotherhood. We become sisterhood. This is what it's all about. It's that form. That's what the Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com board is all about. It's to build this type of relationship where we can BS on here and have some fun. You know, hey, I got a call from the 816. You on with Coach Lee? You rocking four course, Coach Lee, 816. Who you at? Where you be? What's your name?
Coach Ed. Coach Ed with the KC Tribe. How are you, Coach Lee?
What's up, Coach Ed? What's happening?
Oh, man, not much. Everything's everything.
Yeah, man. You put it on them this week. I know your philosophy, man. Put it on them.
Well,
you told me straight up. You told me straight up, you told me.
Well, we got to have to raise the level of football and women's football, and that's just the bottom line.
Yes, definitely. And we both have the same philosophy. It's on the coaching. You know, you do what you do because you do what you do because you're the best at it. It's up to that other coach on the other field to stop, to be
absolutely
ready.
Absolutely.
And
trust me.
And if they can't stop you, then it's really on them.
Yeah, and, you know, we played against, Dallas, as you guys were talking about earlier, and we played against Detroit, and we played against some of the other very dominant teams through the course of me coaching in women's football. And, you know, we've had it put on us, and we had to teach our girls and recruit better athletes in order for us to be competitive.
Yes, and that's the level, if we want to take this to the ultimate level, we have to. We got to set the bar. I mean, like I said, in my first year in 2006, we didn't have to play Houston. They weren't even on our schedule. We had a team that was supposed to be in the league. I think they were called the Black Widows out in Tulsa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up dropping out. And so I said, you know what? We only got a 6-game schedule because we were like the expansion team schedule at the time. And I say, I'll go out there and play them because I want to see what a real championship team looks like. I want my team to see where we need to be. You know? And when we went out there, again, we lost 51-7, you know. But we were the only team that year that scored on them outside the Dallas Diamonds.
Yeah.
So that was a victory for us, you know. We scored on their first-string defense, you know. The score was 31-7.
Yeah, you know, I truly believe that, you know, in those games, I know some people feel like that you don't learn anything and it's demoralizing or whatever for the girls, but I reflect on the moments when I was in those games and what I talked and to my girls after we played, after the game, and then we went back and reviewed film, and we saw the errors that we made and how we could correct on those, and it made us better. And that's the bottom line, not so much of being in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think one of the arguments that been on the Ning board was market. You know, one market being bigger than the other market, that means they got a better selection of athletes. And I'm like, that's bullcrap.
Yeah, I don't buy into that either. We actually have more teams in our market than, you know, the team that we play this weekend. And, you know, they had just as many girls as we had. I mean, it's about what you do with your team and your talent.
Right, it's about that off-season program, how committed you are as a coach and as an organization to put together an off-season program. You can't put together a good team in February and you play in March.
Absolutely,
you know,
not.
April, April.
Yeah,
you know,
we
that's what some of these things done.
Yeah, we start in September, October with our off-season program, and we continue that all the way through you know, November, December, and by the time we hit the first week in January, first practice, we're in full pads. And that's the way I've been doing it the last couple of years, and, you know, it pays dividends for us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're not in full pads at that time, but, you know, like I said, once the season was over with, we took, what, two months off? That was July. So we took off August. By mid-September, I was already putting out information, you know, 2010 Showgirls, you know.
Absolutely.
We had a team meeting, and then we did our football 101 weekends or camp on Saturdays for 10 straight weeks. You know, we went from mid-September to Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, every Saturday, and my veterans just had to show up two days out of those 10 just to give the rookies out there an opportunity to see, you know, what a player has, you know, a veteran looks like, basically. But it was a chance for rookies to learn football, and it was really up to me. My coaching staff had time off. I'm out there teaching because I want to win.
Right.
You know? And that's the foundation. And then, you know, that led to, you know, of course, you got Thanksgiving and the holidays. We took that from Thanksgiving to Christmas off.
Right.
And then we got back together the week before the women's football camp and conference. And I think we had 14 girls. Now, yeah, 14 girls make the football camp and conference. Out of the 14, 8 of them were rookies.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know. Yeah. So, you know, they got a chance to put on a helmet, shoulder pads, and then be coached by other coaches was the ultimate thing.
Right.
You know, you're not just hearing it from me. I'm not Mr. Guru on everything, but there's other coaches that teach the same thing. They might call it something different, but we're all teaching.
Absolutely.
And the rookies were like, wow, Coach, that was probably the pinnacle of me wanting to play football was hearing it from some other coach. I thought you were just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the inside joke. Coach, you crazy. I'm like, no, I'm just shooting it real like it is.
Well, I'm making a commitment to you. I'm gonna work with you next for this next off season. If I'm not there in Vegas, I'm gonna work with you to help me put and develop something together for the Midwest, and that way we'll have you know, it'll be in conjunction with yours. So we'll run, you know, two weekends. We want to be in Vegas, want to be here. I mean, I was very serious when I put up the post about that. We need to have clinics and camps across, you know, across the states because we're trying to expose more and more women to football. It doesn't matter what team they go play for. That's why you have options. But to learn about the sport from coaches who've been coaching it, that's what's most important, fundamental skills.
Definitely that, because I go to regular football camps, you know, that the high schoolers go to, the colleges put on and everything. And when I pose questions, they're like, oh, what's the show girl? I was like, oh, I coach women's football.
Yeah.
And of course, you get guys in there that's going to chuckle and chuckle. But guess what? I always have my DVD in my main DVD player.
Yeah.
And I wind up popping in the film in between, and they're like, those aren't women, are they? I'm like, yes. They pass the ball like that, you know? I'm like, yes. You know? They're like, wow. So they're more intrigued after they see it to believe it. Just like we did. We had to see it to believe it before we start coaching, you know?
Right.
You know, I got a chance to see your game against the LA Amazons last year, which is a great game.
Yeah.
And you did great adjustments, side adjustments, and, you know, you were able to beat a team that had more athletes than you.
Yeah.
Coach Duncan, I was
trying to get on to talk to Coach Duncan, to send him a good luck wish this year. But, yeah, they are an awesome team. We were fortunate, obviously, to come out ahead in that game, but they pretty much had us beat for the most part of the game. We made a lot of mistakes, but just a dynamic team. I'm so impressed with the program that he has out there in the West Coast.
Yeah, Coach Duncan was just on a little bit earlier, and like I said, we good friends, and he actually got me into this women's football thing. Originally, he wanted me to, when I was living in L.A., he wanted my money. He wanted me to invest in this team. And I was like, dog, I'm about to move to Vegas. I said, you know what, I'm going to start team in Vegas. He was like, yeah, right. So I wound up partnering up with the Cat, and we started up a team. I started up a team here, and, you know, it's been time. And I have a core group of girls that say, give me 5 years, and I would guarantee you, you'll be the elite team in 5 years. I can't guarantee a championship, but we'll be one that people will be talking about in the good side of the game.
Absolutely.
Get beat up all the time. And that's what the ladies have to understand. You're not going to be a champion overnight. It's going to take dedication, hard work, and you got to put in that extra time outside, because I only get 6 hours of football with the girls per week.
Right.
On Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, you get
they
more than I get.
Yeah. Well, and that's not everybody at practice, though. That's just when we hold practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, with them working and having family and stuff like that, I'm lucky to get them 2 out of those 3 nights.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the requirement. You know, we set standards. You can miss a practice, but you won't start that game.
Right.
You miss 2 practices, you won't play in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You miss 3 practices, you guarantee you won't play the whole a whole first half.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take you away from playing the game because you got life issues to deal with. But
that's just
the rule we set ourselves up by.
Yeah, it's definitely a commitment and setting your priorities. I think that's more than anything else. I tell them, the ladies who play for me, life is life. I can't pay your bills, but, you know, there is a certain thing as priorities, and every day can't be, you know, you had an emergency. You have to set those expectations with your family or whomever, whether it's just your partner, that you had this right here is something you're committing to and you expect it to be there.
Definitely that. And like I said, I look at what you've done in the 2-year turnaround with the tribe, and the thing I like about what you've done is you open up a passing game and say, you know what, I'm going to prove that these ladies can pass the ball and run a complicated, simple offense. It's what it really is. It's complicated for the defense to try to stop it, but it's really simple as far as the concepts are concerned. And just putting the athletes out there and letting them be who they are, and once they get that confidence, man, it's hard to stop a team that can throw the ball all over the field.
Well, we're excited to present that challenge. And like I said, it's about elevating the level of women's football. And, traditionally where you could just kind of stick some folks out there at, you know, to play your DB or your safety position, you really have to teach what rules are and what they have to expect and what they have to honor with zones. And so, again, it's just on our end, it's just another elevation.
And it's going to take a defensive coordinator to be able to put the right people in place. And like you said, you got to teach the game of leverage from the defense perspective. When you got a team to spread it out, you got to realize that the wide receiver is only 3 yards away from the sideline. 9 times out of 10, they're not running an out pattern.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but you have some coaches insist that the corners play outside of those receivers, just give up that slant all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
that's where we have to go back to work, and we have to get in there and get our schooling in as coaches and get to these camps and clinics.
Absolutely.
And come back and teach them to our girls of what it takes to be a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my mottos here in Kansas City is we set expectations for you as an individual, whether you're a player or whether you're a coach, to get better in the offseason. Each one of my coaches, we all go to our the coaches' clinics that are offered here in the Kansas City area, whether it's a Rydell, Rydell, the coaches' clinic that they put on, or whether it's some of the just local high school clinics. I attended 3 myself this year, and I'm always looking for different opportunities. One thing, and I'll kind of give a little tip, something we picked up, and it was a defensive circuit. Turnover circuit. So you basically had 5 different drills set up, and it was a circuit. So you sent the girls through to work on stripping the ball, how to pick it up when you fumble. You know, just that's something we picked up this year that we didn't do in the past, and the girls, they love it. You know, every time we run it, and we use the whole field so they can get conditioning in when they do it. But that was something that we learned at a clinic this year. If not, we wouldn't have picked that up.
Right, that was being creative because, again, what's the punishment for in any sport? What's the punishment for most athletes? They have to what?
run.
They have to run, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
you hate to do. But if you can institute some type of game or some kind of challenge with the running, they forget about how much running they're doing. And next thing you know, they done went 20 miles and didn't even know they went 20 miles.
Didn't even know it, absolutely.
Definitely that. Well, Coach Ed, I definitely want to appreciate you calling in.
Oh,
and,
no problem.
You're welcome here with Four Quarters with Coach Lee anytime you like, man. This is the type of show that I like to run. Hey, I just want coaches to come on. Let's shoot the breeze. We can talk about these things. You can add the circuit situation because I'm going to ask you to email that to me, you know, next or put it up on the meme board. But this is the type of information that we share as coaches, no matter if we're rivals, we're enemies, whatever.
Right.
Coaches love to share ideas. And like I said, I might not agree with what you do, but I might take a little bit of what you
Absolutely.
Do and put a twist on it. And, and that's what the leagues have to understand.
Yeah.
It's okay for us to communicate and talk to each other. You know, I'm not going to copy you. You know, I can give you my recipe through my gumbo, but it ain't going to taste like mine. You know,
right.
put your own seasonings in there. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's what it's going to take from us as coaches, and we have to push that movement and not allow others to say or dictate, well, you can't talk to Coach Lee or you can't talk to Coach Ed. You know, that doesn't make any sense. My mama can't tell me who to talk to.
No.
I'm a grown man, you know. So, you know, again, Coach, I thank you for coming on, and I hope you are an avid listener to Four Quarters of Coach Lee, and I definitely will hit you up on making that women's football camp and conference a reality in the Midwest. And like I said, it's not meant to be just in one location.
Absolutely.
It was meant to be a traveling situation, but if you don't get the response, it takes money to run these things.
It
ain't free, you know. And so
there's
a lot involved in it. But I will hit you back. I got some more folks that need some time on, and I need to wrap up because if not, man, I talk on this thing for 24 hours. I can't stop. I'm just that type of guy.
Well, it's 10:30 here. Yeah, it's 10:30 here in Kansas City, so I probably should be getting ready to shut it down myself.
Yeah, actually, the wife just called me and said, are you on your way home yet? I'm like, no, not yet. You
right,
still calling
right.
me? Yeah. All right, so thanks a lot.
All right, no problem. Take care, Dion.
All right. Hey, that was Coach Ed from the IWFL Tier 1 Champs, the KC Tribe. And like I said, you guys, this is what it's all about. I love it. You know, we got coaches from each league. We got coaches from within the league, you know, that I play in, outside the league. We got fans that can just tune in and just ask questions, you know. Like I said, I don't think about these things, but I can come up with the answer because, again, part of my makeup is not being part of the problem but finding solutions to make things happen. And again, as I go back into 10-year history or 11-year history of women's football, we tend to spin our wheels in the mud and just focus in on the problem, but then there's no solutions. And then if there is a solution, people are slamming the solution against the wall like, that doesn't work. Instead of looking at it and say, you know what, I can see where you're coming from with that, but if we put a little pepper here and a little salt there and a little lard seasoning salt, I think we can make that happen. And that's been my push, and that's been my public enemy stance. That's why I'm public enemy number one, because I'm finding those solutions, and I'm going to put pressure on you to make those solutions happen. You know, again, I've got emails and ask me, am I jealous about, you know, the offensive-defensive camp? I've mentioned this before, and I tell you no. I say, you know why I'm not? Because they're starting to see the vision of where football needs to go. If I got to be that motivation button and say, I'm not going to let Dion do it, or we want to be better than him, or we want to be, it doesn't matter. You're pushing me, because guess what? I'm a big dog on the porch too, and I'm a bark. I'm not going to just sit there. I want to make sure that my stuff is top notch, point blank. And I'm open to have people help out. It's not all about me. It's never have been. Like I said, I was brought into women's football by another person, Coach Duncan from the L.A. Amazon. I still talk to his players every day. He had a football camp I attended, you know. It's part of the coaching fraternity. I don't care if he was my rival or he's in a different league. If I can help him get better, then that's what I'm here to do. If he can help me get better, then that's his purpose. You know, if we could scrim at each other because we are in different leagues, we can help each other win championships. Why? Because we are working together, you know, for a common cause. He'd be the champion of his league, I'd be the champion of my league. We're in the same league, you know, I help him a little bit. I will help him a little bit. But like I said, it's late on the East Coast. I've got 20 more minutes, and I'm going to just finish up. So those who got to go to bed, hey, good night. I love you for staying on. Hey, tell a friend, tell your team, tell whatever. I'm here to teach. I'm also here to learn. And the way I learn is by having others come on and give me some advice. I'm not such a butt wipe that I can't listen. You know, I'm not too old to learn. We're never too old to learn. And I hear that from some of the coaches. You know, I already know football. Yeah, right. You don't know everything about football. And even if you do, you need to find out what the new inventions are, what the new techniques are, or the new offenses are out there, the new techniques of doing this and doing that. You know, you have to always be a learning dog until you roll over and it's over with. Every day in life, you must learn. You know, BDP, that's another one of my groups. Boogie Down Productions, you must learn. But anyway, this show is brought to you by, I got to tell my sponsors. I've been on here too long and I ain't mentioned my sponsors. We got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. Imagine this. Imagine 100 teams. All wearing Adidas shoes. Imagine that. Let's add up some buying power real quick. The average cleat costs $45, right? There's an average of 40 players per team, right? There's what? 100 teams just to round it off? We just had $180,000 in buying power because everybody's wearing Adidas. You don't think those sponsors would come? You don't think Nike would say, wow, we want you to spend $180,000 with us. What can we do to help you? You don't think Under Armour wouldn't come to everybody and say, hey, we want to be a part of that Women's Football Association if we all got under one umbrella? Again, power in numbers. You see, I can flip the script on this show anytime I want. Because it's about learning, it's about teaching, it's about understanding the power in numbers. Yes, we're in a down economy. But have you guys ever thought about, you know, selling one ticket at a certain price and letting the other team honor their game day ticket at your games? Think about it. Sell season tickets, and if you present your coupon ticket at this game, you get in free. You think more fans might come? Yeah, you never know. They could. They might. But that's some of the creative things that we have to do. Power in numbers, yo. Power in numbers. But getting back on the topic, we're talking about the WFA in review. And I'm definitely going to finish this up in the next 15 minutes, BJ, so you can go to bed. I don't know who won the basketball game, but I don't care. But the bottom line is this. There's going to be two teams in the championship this year in the WFA. I know of one team, for sure. And they're going to be the hosting city of the championship. It's just a matter of who's coming out the other conference is what I'm looking at. And, you know, I just love it. I just love it. I'm putting the pressure on Showgirls. Y'all better get this stuff together. That means y'all better be at practice because I'm putting it out there. You know, and if we don't make it, it's a bust. The bottom line is it's a bust if we don't make it. Because I really feel that we have a team that can't be beat once we are on the same, you know, cylinders and all the other good stuff. You know, it got to be. So let me go over here to the website again, and let's talk about this season real quick. Like I said, we got more time to talk. You know, in weeks to come. I'm here each and every Monday night on Blog Talk Radio. I'm always taking in callers at 347-826-7278. I feel like I'm not a marathon, but, you know, a fundraiser event telethon, there we go, or radiothon, or something, I don't know. But, you know, it's all about promoting, you guys. I just love it. I dig it. I wish that I had a twin that was on the East Coast, and I wish I had another twin that was in the North and in the South, because it takes forth the effort of what this show is all about to make women's football step up. You know, what I like about the Ning board, real quick, as I'm going over to the teams and everything, is the fact that, you know, everybody's getting some media coverage now. They get media. I'm on Facebook. I just saw SoCal had an article in the Examiner, you know, with L.A. and stuff. I saw some highlights of, who else was I seeing? I seen some stuff of not Sacramento team. Yeah, Sacramento team up on Facebook. You know, bring it over to the name board as well. One central location. I talked to my girl Jamil Hill from ESPN, and I'm trying to get her to sign up to be a member on our board to actually handle the press and media section or group. But her thing is that she loves, because I email her everything. I email her highlights, and she's like, wow, if more people sent me stuff like this, it would be so great. Because now I can go on First and Ten, or what's the show in the morning with Skip and the folks. It's not First and Ten, that's the segment. But First Take or something like that. And that's how that stuff get on the show. There's constant emails and videos and story-driven stuff that gets on that ESPN two-hour show. And she said, you just got to put forth more effort into promoting that stuff into the show and request it. You know, I talk to the guys on ESPN, the talk shows, what's their name? I can't even think of their names right now. But, you know, their whole thing is, we don't promote women's football because nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to listen to it. And I'm like, bull crap. I told them I got 1,700 football fans on one website. They're like, yeah, right. I had to send them a copy of the membership page to show where how many members we have, and they couldn't believe it. They said, well, we don't want to do it because nobody's going to listen to women play football. And then the other day they had the girl from the Baylor, and they had a 30-minute segment on just her and wind up having one of the highest-rated shows because they were talking about women's basketball. So, again, we got to coordinate. And this is strategy. This is war strategy. We all got to get behind the product and push it. Not the individuals or the individual teams, but the fact that we are all 100 teams strong, and we're promoting the same product, okay? But anyway, let me get back. I just keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what I'm saying? And I'm over here. Where am I at? Come on, Deion. There we go. Let's talk about this. We got the, you know, for those who don't know, the WFA is broken down in regions, six regions. You know, you got the Midwest, you got the Southwest, a Southern, and a North Pacific. In the American Conference, you got a South Pacific in the American Conference. Then in the National Conference, you got a Northeast, a East, a Mid-Atlantic, a Central, and a North Central, and also a South Central. And they're broken down in regions like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, basically. And so I'm just going to start from the top. If you go to WFAfootball.com, I'm just sitting on the standings page. And right now, I'm just going to go down the list, and I'm going to give you my predictions of what I think is going to take place, what's going to take place for 2010. I just double-check and make sure I didn't have any more calls. But let me go through this real quick, and if I got any calls, BJ, at the end of this, with the last 12 minutes after this over with, then we'll add them on. If not, hey, I'm sorry. We got to end the show because it didn't went 2 hours. I didn't expect to be here this long. But you know what? I love you guys, and I love women's football. But anyway, you got the Iowa Thunder. You got the KC Spartans. You got the Minnesota Machine, and you got the Nebraska Stampede. There's actually two teams in that region, the Midwest region of the American Conference, that are new, which is KC, Kansas City Spartans, and the Nebraska Stampede. It should be a good fight between the Iowa Thunder and the Minnesota Machine. I've gotten some feedback from Coach Ring about we better watch out for Minnesota Machine. They got their stuff together. I've definitely been checking out their webpage and looking at some of the PR work that they've done and got a chance to see some of the players in action. And I'm really feeling that the Minnesota Machine will come out of the American Conference Region 4, Midwest. In the American Conference Region 5, Southwest Division, and my Spanish is all messed up, but it's the Eagles of Monterey. You got the Austin Outlaws, you got the Houston Power, you got the Lone Star Mustang, and the Oklahoma City Lightning. I think this is a real power division or region with four teams. Not knowing what Oklahoma City is going to bring to the table, but in the past they've been one of the top teams in the NWSA and have been in the championship. But I'm not quite sure if they won it at any point in time. But I've seen the roster of the Lone Star Mustangs, and those additions that they got are definitely going to be some additives to their 62 record last year. And I'm really looking at Lone Star coming out in this division. This is the black and blue division. I think the winner of this division is going to have at least one loss. I really feel that there's going to at least be one loss. In the American Conference Region 5, the Southern, you got some Louisiana teams. You got in this division, you got the New Orleans Blaze, and you got the Kenyan, the Deco. And I had a great time with that group here at the Women's Football Campus Conference. And they're teaching me that dance. And actually, if you go to YouTube and put that in there, the Deco dance, it's a pretty cool Cajun dance. Then you got the Memphis Soul out of Memphis, Tennessee. This is kind of, it's probably going to be one of the most even groups there because of the newness of the teams. And I'm glad to go with the Deco. I got to go with them. They have a coach called Coach. His name is Coach Duncan as well, and I really had a good vibe from Coach Duncan, and he really knows what he's talking about. And if you look at the Women's Football Campus Conference video, and he was explaining defensive backs. He was actually one of the defensive back coaches there, and he really was on point with that. So I really think they're going to come out of that. Then we got in the American Conference Regional 6, North Pacific. We got actually three new teams there, so they're pretty evenly matched. You got the Central Cal War Angels, you got the Portland Fighting Phillies, and you got the Utah Blitz. If I had to go with, you know, who got their stuff together, you know, through their website and everything, and it's on point and it's nice and tight, it will be the Utah Blitz. I talk to Coach Lumley all the time with the Portland Fighting Phillies. And he's really learning some good things, and I definitely give him as much information as I can about, you know, coaching the ladies. He comes from a high school coaching background as well as Pop Warner football coaching. And actually, he coached against my dad. He beat my dad up, as he said. I don't recall. I was off in college when him and my dad was battling. But anyway, I'm actually going to pick the Central Cal War Angels out that decision to take it. I just think, you know, from things that I've seen, again, you know, newscast and having a nice roster and seeing some of the athletes out there, I think the Central Cal War Angels would definitely pull that division out. And then we got the American Conference Region 6, South Pacific. You got the Arizona Assassins, the Las Vegas Showgirls, the Pacific Warriors, and the San Diego Sting. Actually, three out of those four teams are actually experienced teams. The Arizona Assassins, I'm not going to sleep on them. They're a mixture of the Phoenix Prowlers, the Arizona Caliente, and the Nighthawks, for those who really know about women's football. They're a great mixture of that. You got the Pacific Warriors, who is not a new team. They're just a team renamed. They were the California Lynx last year, and they have one hell of a quarterback in Matt Vickers. Lisa King is one of their standout special teamers and wide receivers. And I can't remember the tight end's name, but she was one hell of a player as well, a strong safety. So if they got their mix back together, they're going to be something to deal with. And then I got an opportunity to scrimmage the Sting, and they're definitely a good team. They're going to have some bumps and bruises this year, but they got some quality players out there. I think their coach is doing a great job putting together a good offense and defense. And I think they're going to come around. But the winner of that conference got to be the Las Vegas Showgirls, period, point blank. As we go to the National Conference, Region 1, Northeast, you got the New England Nightmare, you got the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, and you got the South Tier Spitfire. South Tier Spitfire is some of the players from the Birmingham Tiger Cats decided not to go and join the IWFL, and they wanted to stay in the WFA. I don't know what they have all together. I haven't really thought after them. I got to go with the Liberty Bells. If they got that returning running back, it's gonna be lights out for everybody else in that conference. In the North, not the North, but Region 1 East, you got the Baltimore Burn, you got the Keystone Assault, and the New Jersey Titans. From what I know and what I've seen, I got to go with the Baltimore Burn out of that conference. I think one of my coaches that started with me here in Showgirls is actually in Baltimore and actually coaching over there. We ran to each other on Facebook, but he told me to watch out for them Burn. When you go to Region 1 Mid-Atlantic, you got the Columbus Comets, the Dayton Diamonds, and the Pittsburgh Force. This is the fourth second year. Dayton Diamonds has been around, and the Columbus Comets. I'm going to have to go with the Columbus Comets just because they were ranked number 10 overall last year in total offense. So I think with that, I think the coaches are teaching some good things, and they're able to come through. So we got the Columbus Comets coming out of that region. We got Region 2 Central. We got the Cincinnati Sizzle, Indiana Speed, Kentucky Karma, and the St. Louis Slam. This one, woo! You got the defending WFA champ, and then you got the Indiana Speed, who's probably going to be one of the most improved teams this year, with Slam moving over to the National Conference this year as we're starting to grow in the WFA. We're starting to place teams in closer proximity of the teams to play. But like I said, I got the Slam coming out of there. We got the Cleveland Fusion. We got the Detroit Dark Angels, the Toledo Rain, and the West Michigan Mayhem. I'm going to have to go with the defending National Conference champs with the West Michigan Mayhem coming back. Again, offensively, they averaged 342 yards. They were one of the top defensive teams in the league and only giving up, I think I wrote it down, they gave like 1.9 points a game. So I'm pretty sure they're going to come back with a vengeance. Then we got in the last one, we got the Central Division, which is Regional 3, Carolina Raging Wolves, Central Florida Anarchy, Gulf Coast Riptide, Jacksonville Dixie Blues, and Tampa Bay Pirates. I got to go with the Riptide. I think I'm going with the Riptide in that situation. I don't know why, but I'm going with the Riptide, yo. So, you know, my final predictions, it'll be the Showgirls and the St. Louis Slam in the WFA Championship with the Las Vegas Showgirls being the 2010 WFA National Champs. That's how I do it. That's my preview. And like I said, you ain't got to agree, but you know what? It's just like that. I am running out of time. My mouth is tired. I need to wet my whistle, and I didn't get a chance to do that. But you know what? We'll be back next week. And if you disagree with what went down today, you can always call in at 347-826-7278 each and every Monday. I'm on at 7 p.m. West Coast time. You know, I know it's late on the East Coast, but I'm glad you guys made it. As you can see, I'm here to teach you. And just listen to the theme song. Refuse to lose. This is your ticket. More force with Coach Lee. I'm ready to coach it. I just love me some PG, yo. The way I'm living, forgiven, what I'm giving up. X on the flesh, giving now. I don't know about later. As for now, I know how to board the paranoid. Man, I'm listen to it. Up to here. Rhetoric, fair and red, just a better go. And not quick to go find the hard rhymer. What's the key from getting dirt? Changing some ways. The way back in a better day. I am rolling, you guys. I got to get home. I'm about an hour and a half away from home, and the wife just called. So I will see you guys next week. I'm out. Peace. Hustle and coaching. That's me, baby. Hustle and coaching. I'm out.
Fallen off, known as fair square throughout my years, so I growl at the living.